Hey, it's Dean Blundell. I'm here with my friend at Greg Carrasco on Twitter from Thornhill Hyundai. Good morning, Greg, and how are you today?
I am very well. Thank you, Dean. It's been a while.
It's been so long. You've moved. I've moved. You've moved.
That's what we do.
We're movers.
And shakers.
What do you got going on at Thornhill Hyundai?
We are changing the world.
One car at a time.
One customer at a time.
Now, here's the thing, though. You have no salespeople, which traditionally is bad for the car industry, is that not?
Everybody hates car salespeople, so why fill the showroom with them?
No salespeople. And you meet my friend Greg Carrasco at
Thornhill Hyundai.
There has been an awakening. Have you felt it?
Dean Blundell and Company.
All the preteen children out there, listen to my voice. You are immortal.
I give you two claps and a Ric Flair.
I didn't realize it was my job to pump his tires.
Let's go now.
You're listening to Dean Blundell and Company on Toronto's Sports Radio, Sportsnet 590.
The fan. 5:32. I don't feel like doing this. No. I'm gonna game six this show. I'm just not gonna show up.
Well, we usually do that anyway.
Every day's game six here.
Yeah, we mail it in usually.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's a really good point. 5:32. Good morning. It is Thursday, May 26th. 18 degrees right now. High of 26 today, and that is okay. And we got a great show for you today. We got tons of stuff to do, tons of stuff to give you, including some Jays and Yankees tickets. Jays win yesterday. That's a nice story. I'll tell you what wasn't a nice story. How about those Toronto Raptors in my hot take yesterday, which is more like a hot pile of steaming you-know-what. No good. I say the Raptors go in, take advantage of a messy dressing room, down on their luck. The momentum swing's too big. They're going to win at Quicken Loans Arena. They were down by 44 points at one point, 34 in the first half. It was like a faucet that just exploded as the Toronto Raptors lose yesterday by 38 points, and it was a terrible effort. They got absolutely pounded yesterday. Take nothing away from how terrific the Cleveland Cavaliers played. Equally as poorly, the Toronto Raptors played as well, not even showing up for Game 6. And the world hates a sore loser. I was thinking about how I was going to approach this whole thing today. So I don't want to talk about that fat Cavs fan that looked like a cue ball dressing down Coach Casey during the game as the Raps are getting hammered in the Cavs by game six. I don't want to talk about LeBron whining for every call, specifically whining for one.
Like every call.
To the point where my girlfriend, who knows little to nothing about basketball, says, is it me or does that guy whine about everything, they're up by 32, and he's looking for the and one.
You're up 100 points on the Raptors, and you're complaining about getting tapped.
And he's got poo face. So I don't want to talk about LeBron whining for calls. I don't want to talk about Kevin Love trying to jack up the crowd after he hit his third straight field goal, even though he's the softest power forward in the NBA, and his greasy beard just makes him look like he shouldn't hang around schools at recess. I don't want to talk about the referees blatantly favoring the Cavs during every single call and turning it into a whistle fest at every single turn. I don't want to talk about the call. I don't know if you saw it on DeMar DeRozan in the first quarter that came 5 seconds after the whistle went from a ref that was on the other side of the court, even though it was a ref standing right next to him, and the fix is in, but it doesn't matter when you lose by 38, so I don't want to talk about that. Let's just talk about the fact the Raptors didn't show up. They didn't battle. They weren't as hungry. They didn't make their shots. They look completely intimidated. And the good news is, hey, they're up against it. It's an elimination game, and it's back at home. Let's talk about that. Raps lose big, 116-78. Yes, you heard me correct. That is a 38-point differential, kids.
Is there anything more frustrating than that whole home ice home court advantage in the NBA. You just can't explain it. Why does a team play so much better on their home floor than they do anywhere else? It's not like there's an actually...
Both teams.
Yeah, it's not like in hockey where you get the last change and there's actually an advantage to being on... There is no advantage playing at home in the NBA. It's just the crowd. And for the Raptors to look like a completely different team... It's so frustrating to watch.
You know, you watch the battle this team put up, specifically in Game 4. Game 3 wasn't a cakewalk. They had to pull it out at the end. They won by 15. But Game 4, they battle for loose balls. They battle for every rebound, offensively and defensively. You have to look at the rebound differential in this game, which was plus 21 for the Cavs, plus 21. Look at Bismack Biyombo's number, and that's all he does. All he does is rebound. He's not out there to shoot a Jimmy from the elbow. He's not out there to break guys down in the middle. He's out there to protect the paint. He had 4 rebounds yesterday.
Yeah.
4. Not 4 offensive. Nope. Not 4 defensive.
Nope.
4 rebounds yesterday. So you're right. I mean, is it a question of it just being some kind of weird, wacky effing voodoo where you can't play away from your rink? You can't play away from your home. You can't get it done. You don't feel the crowd behind you. You have no idea. And I was thinking about it this morning, and I said it yesterday. You know, a three-pointer or a rebound, geographically, doesn't matter where you get it. It's still the same process. A pick and roll at the top of the perimeter, which they did none of. When we talked about it yesterday, that pick and roll and the shift and getting Kyrie and Love at the top, they did none of that. They just played iso ball when they got frustrated and pissed off. And you know what? The frustrating part to me had nothing to do with the referee, even though the refereeing was terrible, absolutely god-awful, maybe worse than games 1, 2, 3, or 4. The really frustrating part for me was the effort from the Toronto Raptors. It was like they were shell-shocked the second they walked into that Quicken Loans Arena. It was like they had no idea how they won those last two games, and they had no idea how they were going to get through this one. And you could see it in their eyes. You can see it in the way they played. There was zero fight in that dog. That was the frustrating part for me. Ryan Fabro.
Yeah, me too. I mean, you generally shoot a bit worse away from your home in big games. That seems to be a rule in the NBA for what reason. But I can't figure out how can't Bismack rebound
anywhere
close to as well during the playoffs on the road as he does at home. Rebounding I don't really get because that's just effort and positioning. And the same way, there's no excuse for that effort from the Raptors. The Cavs were first to every loose ball last night, and that's the stuff that you really get mad about.
Offensive rebound, same thing.
Right, I expected them to lose last night and handily, not that handily, that was ridiculous, but it was the lack of effort and drive by Lowry and DeRozan early in that ball game, and DeRozan said after the game as much, I should have been more aggressive. Well, no kidding. How don't you know that, and why don't we see that? So that's the most concerning part was the lack of drive, confidence, and effort from those guys. I can't figure out how you can't rebound on the road.
Like in your own
that,
end.
That one I just can't figure out.
In your own
end.
The
other stuff I'm pretty mad about. Because as a fan, you get excited for the biggest game in Raptors history, and you see that effort. And I was watching the hockey game, you know, late in the second quarter because this thing's gone, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, that's the bottom line. They didn't show up to play. And how do you expect them? I expect them to bounce back in Game 6, but how would you ever expect them to come through in Game 7?
Yeah, it's tough, and you can't because what you've seen in Games 1, 2, and 5, right? You see Games 1, you lose by 31. Game 2, you lose by 19. Game 5, you lose by 38. That's an 88-point differential, if I'm doing my math right, in 3 games. That is so bad. That's almost 30 points a game you're losing by. So when you kind of add the whole thing up, you look at, and Grange had a great article at Sportsnet.ca, wrote it immediately after the game saying, hey, listen, this was a disaster. Sure, it happens in the NBA. It's too bad it's happened 3 times out of the 5 games in this series, and it's all happened at Quicken Loans Arena. It's all happened in Cleveland. But if that's the case, the point you bring up is a really valid one. Listen, I don't mean to shock people that have spent a lot of time and money and effort following this team around because it's been a great ride. But if you win here tomorrow night, and if you let this crowd feed you tomorrow night, man, oh, man, you got to go back there again. And I don't, but then again, I can't justify something that you said which is something I alluded to earlier as well, you know, how do you not rebound as well? How do you not shoot as well when right. the dimensions of the court are exactly the same?
The shooting thing's not a surprise. I mean, we've seen that for years. I mean, you guys just, they play tighter on the road. You don't get it. You know, it's just it's a human element thing. You're not as comfortable and you don't feel as comfortable hitting long jump shots.
They look scared yesterday.
The other stuff's inexcusable. And how, and credit Tyronn Lue and the Cavs for adjusting. And they made life difficult for Lowry and DeRozan. They were throwing guys at them early to get them out of the comfort zone, running two guys at them. So the Raptors couldn't adjust to that. I mean, Lowry didn't have his first points, I don't think, till midway through the second quarter, which is inexcusable.
Yeah, those, and you know what, you think about what they those two guys did in the last game where they had 67 points collectively. They had 27 points yesterday.
But it's
they have 40 less points collectively to add to that. So they lose by 38. There you go. You win by two if you get the similar production from those two guys. So it's, and you're right. I mean, there's no excuse,
no excuse for the effort.
This is something we'll beat to death today.
Deficit.
There is not only no excuse for no effort. There's no excuse for the lack of interest in the effort. Like I didn't see the look on DeMar and Kyle's face. The entire game, the only emotion you really saw from Kyle, was at half when he had that thing over his head and he was yelling at his teammates that we can do this, we can rah rah. That was it. When you got on the court, you didn't see it from him. You didn't see, you know. And I know he was flopping all over the place, but at the same time, you know, like you said, every loose ball, it just seemed every offensive. Tristan Thompson just ate up Bismack Biyombo, which has not happened in the last two games of this series. So.
Well, it's historically bad. We've never seen a deficit as large in the NBA Conference Finals like we did last night. There's really nothing you can talk about the game. We were questioning Kevin Love. He roasted the Raptors, especially in the first quarter. LeBron was just LeBron. He was dominating all over the place. Kyrie couldn't miss a shot. They even tried what we talked about yesterday, JV and Valanciunas on the court. Like, okay, maybe something. No,
and then
they
Tristan,
were getting dominated.
And then Tristan Thompson gets the board, the offensive rebound.
Yeah.
And JV and Biz go, as we talked about, because we wanted to see it, right?
Yeah, they're on the court at the same time.
Right, because they were getting pounded on the glass.
Yeah.
And who comes up with the first offensive rebound? Tristan Thompson. Yeah. And he was due a game. I mean, I said it yesterday, he's been a disappointment, and he's more of a beast than he's shown, and he showed up. And we shouldn't be surprised they lost. The Cavs don't lose three games in a row, and they play really well at home, and save all the drama, they don't like each other. They look pretty comfortable around each other yesterday.
Yeah.
That doesn't matter on the court. It's what you bring to the court, and those guys were professionals last night. They're really good. And that, this all said, and the other reason we shouldn't be surprised, about because this is the Raptors' MO in the playoffs. Nothing's easy. They're not very good on the road. And Kyle and DeMar have really good games, and then they throw a couple stinkers at you.
Yep.
And that's just – so it's this isn't surprise. The surprise is the lack of effort and how damn ugly it got, right? But we shouldn't be surprised and write them off in game six.
No.
You know?
No, because it's an elimination game, and they're at home. And, you know, and that's you think about what
they're
they've
8-2
done in elimination
at the Air Canada Center in the post. And the Cavs haven't won here all year.
No.
That said, wouldn't be surprised if the Cavs are moving on. I mean, it's been a great ride. It's just, man, you get so excited for a big game and to see that.
And they start to make you think it's possible, right? Then you go in there and you put that up. Like, you lose by one, you lose by five, you lose by seven.
Right.
You go, okay, you know what? Hell of an effort. They made it close. We were in the game. The game was over in the first quarter. The game was over at
37-19 after one. Lowry 0 points, DeMar with four.
It was an 18-point differential the first quarter. So you're going to stick. We had to stick around for three quarters, which is almost what George did. And just case in point, yesterday, got this email last night at 10:10 p.m. Going to bed. This game is completely over. Raptors/Cavs game five. Here are the notes. First quarter, bunch of great notes. Second quarter, bunch of great notes. Biyombo, Valanciunas together in the court. Makes his debut late in the second. Blah, blah, blah. Good night, G. So if you follow George's lead and hit the fart sack early, didn't miss much. You saved yourself three more embarrassing quarters. But that's okay because we got a game six. It's back here. It is tomorrow night, and we will all enjoy that together, and it's an elimination game. And you know what Kyle and DeMar do when it matters? We've said it before in the playoffs. We can Only hope it holds true. We're still in it. Game six. And if you're playing games, there's still a chance we'll get to that. Your Jays off the schneid. And guess who hit a couple of dingskies yesterday?
Well, finally.
Yeah, Russell Martin. He shows up, which is great news. So that's a good news story. Jays win 8-3. We'll get to that this morning. And half of your Stanley Cup final is set. Congratulations to the San Jose Sharks and Joe Thornton. Patrick Marleau, maybe the most compelling story. And the old guys did it yesterday behind the stick of Joe Pavelski and Joel Ward, which is another really nice story as well. We'll get to all that this morning and next. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. You're listening to Dean Blundell and Company on Toronto's Sports Radio. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Five fifty. Good morning. Thursday, the 26th day of May. It is 18 degrees right now. See a high today of 26 this afternoon. Apparently, we're getting rain today. We're supposed to get it yesterday. We're going to get it today. Tough day for those Toronto Raptors in Cleveland. They lose by 38. Yes, I am not misspeaking. I don't mean 28. I don't mean 18. I mean 38, which is closer to 40, so let's just call it 40. Because that's what they teach you in grade 5 elementary school math. They teach you round up.
Round up.
Basically, they lose by 40 yesterday.
What's a prime number?
A really good one.
Oh, okay, good.
I believe that's correct, yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know.
Something the Raptors wish they lost by.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all right. It's all good. They're coming home for game six. That'll be tomorrow night. That'll be down at the Air Canada Center. So, you know, get your 6-foot bongs ready and head down to Jurassic Park and get ready to have a great time. Get ready to cheer this team on. Get ready to give her. Get ready to give that camera that floats above the crowd the middle bird. And let's all enjoy ourselves.
You tell that camera, yeah, Toronto.
Yeah. Man, I'm smoking weed and I can give the finger. And no, it's going to be cool. And it'll tell you something, though. If you have any hope, have some hope that this team can get it done at home, because they are unbeatable at home, specifically when y'all are behind them. So, hey, listen, not over yet. Let's talk about that. Speaking of not over yet, how about Russell Martin? Not over yet for Russell Martin yesterday. Sensational game for Russell Martin, catcher for the Toronto Blue Jays. Jays win, beat the Yankees in the Bronx 8-3, and Russell Martin with 2 home runs. I tweeted yesterday, Russell Martin, a home run. Martin. A home run, Russell Martin. I said, not just one.
Yeah.
He had another one in his next at-bat, too. And, you know, it's interesting where you take, you know, as Jays fan or fans of if you love a team, what you take hope in. Did anybody at that point in time, and I know you never want to go, who turned the corner. Oh, a little hope.
That's the at-bat.
Yeah. But it's true, because his third at-bat, he hit the ball pretty hard to dead center field as well, and he almost put another one out of the park. So, hey, listen, you know, a positive result, and he looked real good yesterday offensively, as did the team. And Saunders, he was batting cleanup. Could you imagine Michael Saunders batting cleanup at the start of the season? He hit a dinger as well, a couple of RBIs, and people got some hits yesterday, including Ryan Goins, including Devin Travis, and Devin Travis came around to score as well. So nice result from the Toronto Blue Jays, specifically Devin Travis. Nice to see him get a couple of bats and see how he looked terrific defensively still. So who knows, man? You know, like we've said this all along, what's it going to be that turns this team around? You never know. It's just got to come from the inside, and it did yesterday, so it was nice to see.
Well, and don't forget, Marco Estrada was pitching very well again for the Blue Jays, and he's been a guy who kind of started off slow, and he's been great. But you're right. It was nice to see Devin Travis there. And all this talk that even at the beginning of the season when Ryan Goins wasn't a complete abomination at the plate, everybody's like, you know what, maybe they can trade Devin Travis because Ryan Goins is so good and he's coming around with the bat. Maybe they can afford to trade him. Now, that guy is your second baseman of the future. That deal was made to bring this guy in here for Anthony Gose to be this team's second baseman, and he looked good already last night, and I'm excited for Devin Travis to be in this lineup for the rest of the
season. I'm excited, but for anybody but Ryan Goins
right.
to bat in that lineup and play second base. He plays a great second base, take nothing away from him. And he had a double yesterday, ripped a double in third. Were you wondering, too, at the start of the game, because I was watching that prior to turning over the Raptors game? They got two men on in the first three innings, each of the first three innings, and they could not drive anybody home until the third. And I was so frustrated watching, going, is this going to be the case again? Can someone get something done offensively? And yeah. Gogo was the guy that striped a double into the gap and brought home a couple of guys, and that was it, off to the races. But we'll see. That's all you can say at this point, right?
Right, it's positives. I know. I was thinking the same thing. I turned the game on before I was getting set for that great Raptors game. You know, I thought I'd check out the Blue Jays for a while, and I was having the same kind of thought when they couldn't drive guys in early. And then I looked up the stat. They were hitting like 211 with guys in scoring position this year, which is dead last in the majors. So I was frustrated, and then watched some Marlies hockey there for a little while.
Who got absolutely crushed by Hershey?
It was great. They looked good when I was watching. They were up 2-1, and then an hour later, they were down 7-2. It finished 8-2. And they pulled Bebo, and they brought in Sparks, and he got lit up. And I was like, oh, my God. Which makes me think, what are the Leafs going to do with the goaltending decision? But we can have that conversation another day. It's nice that the Jays won. And for the first time this year, they won when the opposition scored 4 runs or more.
Yeah.
That hasn't happened all year, and we're May 26th here. So positives. Who knows how this shakes out? Hopefully they take the series finale today. Early start, by the way, 4 p.m. today. So...
Sweet. I love that. That means we can get on with our evening.
Go to bed early tonight.
Yeah, get ready
for tomorrow
night. But, man, we got lots going on today. Absolutely.
Game
7 tonight. Pittsburgh and Tampa Bay, that's cool. And that'll punch the second half of the ticket to the Stanley Cup Final. The first half was ticketed yesterday. And you are going to see the San Jose Sharks in the Stanley Cup Final for the very first time. And good for them. Good for Marlow. Good for Thornton. Good for Pavelski. Good for DeBoer. Good for everybody. We'll fill in all the blanks next. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. This is Dean Blundell and Company. Listen online at sportsnet.ca/590.
All right, 6:01, good morning. Welcome. It is Thursday, the 26th day of May. It is 18 degrees. It is Dean Blundell and Company. Lots to get to this morning. We have a Stanley Cup Final that is halfway there. Congratulations to the San Jose Sharks. Hell of an effort yesterday. They win 5-2. Joe Thornton is on his way to his very first Stanley Cup Final, as are the San Jose Sharks. So good for him and good for them. It's a nice little story. We also got a Game 7 tonight, Tampa Bay-Pittsburgh. Game 7, 8 p.m. You can watch that on the CBC. Also, good news story, the Toronto Blue Jays win yesterday in the Bronx. They take Game 2 of that three-game set against the Yankees. We've got Game 3, 4 p.m., right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. You can watch it on Sportsnet. Can they turn it around? Devin Travis was a nice story yesterday. He gets a hit, comes in to score. How about the story of Russell Martin? His second and third extra base hits of the season. Second and third extra base hits of the season are both home runs. Congratulations to him as well. That was a nice little game for him. Estrada was terrific as well. Saunders, he went deep as well. And I don't know if you know this. Here's a cute little stat, kids. That is the first time in Toronto Blue Jays history. That was history yesterday. And I love me some history. The two Canadians went Yardski in the same game for the Toronto Blue Jays. The same game. How do you like those apples?
Well, it took a lot longer than I think everybody expected.
Yeah, I think so too. Saunders with 9
Saunders
on the year.
It's been playing well all season.
Absolutely. Back cleanup yesterday, which is a nice story. So we'll get to that coming up in a few minutes as well. Lots of other stuff to get to as well. But more importantly, yesterday your Toronto Raptors walked into Cleveland all full of the stuff. Tons of momentum. They just absolutely fed what was considered the odds-on favorite, now probably the odds-on favorite to win the NBA Finals, despite what Oklahoma City has done. They're still up 3-1, by the way, which is also unbelievable.
I think that's crazy now. I think the Thunder are the favorite,
me
don't
too.
You?
I do.
Like, how can
they
Cavs,
not be? Right.
Right, what they've done to the Warriors. And
did you watch last night's game, though?
It's the Raptors.
Yeah, but I know
Stop
it's the Raptors.
Doing the overreaction to one game thing.
I'm not doing the one game thing. You put together the three games the Raptors have lost this series.
Yeah.
You know, the Cavs beat them by 31, 19, and 38 last night.
I love the Raptors, but the Raptors aren't the Warriors. There's the difference. The
Warriors are playing like
Warriors
the Raptors.
Warriors just won 73. That's true. On the road.
The Warriors wish they were playing like the Raptors, especially at home.
Right. My point, I just don't see how, as good as the Cavs can be, how do you guard, like, who's guarding Russell Westbrook, who might be playing the best basketball in the world right now?
Yep.
Kyrie Irving? Like, who, like, LeBron, like, who's guarding that guy? I just look at the Thunder now. I think they're the favorites. I don't know what Vegas is saying. I think Cavs are still the favorite.
Who knows anymore, right? I mean, who knows? You watch the Cleveland lose 2 against the Toronto Raptors. No one had that. You watch Golden State. Now they're down 3-1. No one had that. So, you know, who's the favorite? Who knows? And I think it's a great – but the one point you make – is who's going to guard Russell Westbrook? He is an animal.
Oh, my God. He's not a superstar, though, according to Mark Cuban.
No, Mark Cuban's an idiot. But he's an animal. He's an absolute beast. And I know that's a cliche word to use. I know it's a cool word to use when you describe someone who's just awesome. But Russell Westbrook, when you watch him play, he plays like he is so pissed off at everybody in the world, and he's taking it out on 5 guys on the court at once, and no one can stop him.
Yeah,
and God forbid who has to guard him.
And that guy's a free agent after next season.
He is eating Steph Curry's you-know-what.
Yeah.
And can you think of a matchup for Russell Westbrook? Can you think of someone that, okay, well, that guy could probably get, I can't. And same thing with LeBron James. LeBron James, I mean, what did he play, like 29, 30, 31 minutes yesterday? And he looked unstoppable and looked like he didn't care and was dishing the ball. LeBron James wasn't an offensive factor in the first quarter, and the Cavs, because of him and because of the way they just got Kevin Love involved, they were up by 20 after the first quarter.
That's not LeBron not being involved. That's LeBron doing what he does, passing the ball, right?
Exactly.
He had 4 assists.
You can't defend him or what he is able to do by creating options because it's him. But man, oh man, these playoffs and they've been blowout games, have they not? With the exception of that one game the Raptors and the Cavs played, the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference have just been boring games to watch.
I just read a stat. Where is it? Cavs-Raptors was the 8th playoff game decided by 30 points or more this postseason. And then that is the most in
NBA history.
Yeah. So, yeah, it feels like a lot of blowouts because it has been the most ever. So, But we'll be in for a good one tomorrow night at the Air Canada Center.
Oh, we'll hope so. And Kyle and DeMar have to show up, but apparently that's what they do when it matters. Elimination games, they are terrific. It's at home where they play well, and it's a fortress, so to speak, so
yes,
we'll find out what happens.
It's a fortress.
Yeah.
It is a fortress.
There's a moat built around the ACC.
Yeah.
A drawbridge.
Full of a bunch of people with spliffs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, we'll get
Bobbing
to that.
Bobbing the birds at the camera all the time, too. It's always a classy move.
FTW, bro. let's get to it. Here's George with an update. Hey, George.
Hey, Dean, and it's brought to you by A. Farber and Partners. All right, the Raptors and Cavs played Game 5 of their Eastern Conference Final last night in Cleveland, with the series, of course, tied up at 2 games apiece. The Raptors were blown out in the first 2 games at Cleveland, losing Games 1 and 2 by a combined 50 points. So the Raps were looking to get off to a hot start. But would they? No, the Cavs would use an 11-0 run to go up 17-7 with 6:05 to go in the first quarter. That's when Jonas Valanciunas would make his series debut for the Raps.
For 18 days, he is a question mark, understandably so. JV trailing the play and drills it.
I feel like we're in the Miami series. He hasn't skipped the beat.
Yeah, Matt Devlin and Leo Routen's just laughing it up on Sportsnet. Those were the good times of last night. Valanciunas would score his first bucket to cut the Cavs lead to 20-14 with 4:46 to go in the first. JV would also can a jumper from the top of the key to pace the Raptors to a 9-3 run that would make it 20-16 Cleveland with 4:21 to go in the first. That's as close as Toronto would really get in this one. The Raptors trailed Cleveland 37-19 after the first quarter, with Kevin Love scoring 12 points on 4-for-4 shooting for the Cavs, who shot 68% after in the opening frame. The second quarter is when things got really ugly.
DeRozan now pulls it back, and it's taken away. Another turnover. And James takes one.
Yeah, LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Love had 43 points in the first half. The Raptors had just 34 points combined. Toronto was down 65-34 at halftime, which was the biggest deficit in conference finals history. That was also the worst first half in Raptors franchise history. Yeah. Regular season or playoffs, the previous low was 29 points done four times, most recently against the Spurs. When this song, Dean, was... This is the last time this happened, when this song was number one.
Now, is this Go Shoddy or Go Shorty?
I think it's Shorty.
Always wondered that. And is there an F in birthday?
There is in this song.
And it was good, last night in the game, song. Too.
But these are one of those that you don't change when it comes on, right?
No, it's pretty sweet.
It's like
tune.
Dr. Dre produced. It's a hit, for God's sake. What is this, 2004?
Ooh, close, Fabro.
Three.
Close. Yes. April 4th,
it's your birthday.
2003, when
it's your birthday.
This movie starring Chris Rock was number one in the box office.
This is my neighborhood. This is where I'm from. I got my first bike stolen right there. My daddy got his bike stolen right there. When I have a son, I hope he's fortunate enough to get stuck up right there.
Yeah, Head of State, starring Chris Rock.
Well, I thought it was CB4. That must have been before.
That was way before.
That was like 93.
Yeah, I don't even remember.
Man, Head Chris of State. Rock has some of the worst movies in cinematic history. Really, for the
which
great,
is weird because his stand up is the best.
The best.
Yeah.
But yeah, movies wise, he may have the worst. Like when he sees a script and it's just terrible, he must go like this.
I like it.
Well, isn't that Adam Sandler? Adam Sandler will make any movie as long as they
those.
Pay him.
Yeah, he writes just, those. He
but he's
and his
had
buddies,
some good ones. I mean,
Years ago. Right. But he write like I think he and Adam Sandler and his buddies sit around and get super stoned and go,
this is gonna be the best movie ever.
Did you hear when Chris Rock hosted the Oscars? Did he mention anything about all white people being nominated for did that a couple times? Hey, no need to keep playing highlights because the Raptors were absolutely just crushed last night. 116-78 to go down 3-2 in the Eastern Conference Final. The Cavaliers have won their first three home games in the series by an average of 29 points. Coach Casey was frustrated.
They kicked our butts. That's the bottom line. You get out-rebounded, 21-19 turnovers, physicality. We didn't meet that standard tonight. For whatever reason, we haven't met it here in this building. So that's the bottom line. That's the ball game. That's been all three games.
You know, you talk about hustle and hustle stats. Fast break points, Cleveland at 21, Toronto at 14. Second chance points, so offensive boards, they were nowhere. I don't think they'd won. Cleveland 18, second chance points, Toronto 11. Points in the paint, Cleveland 46, Toronto 32. These stats are interesting, too. They make me laugh. From the floor, Cleveland shot 57%, Toronto 39%. From three, Cleveland shot 47, Toronto 17. And from the line, that was one of the things that really pissed me off watching that game, specifically in the first half yesterday, is they could not make a free throw. Yeah. And I don't know if you know, 15 or 16 missed three throws still doesn't make up for the 38-point deficit. Right. But by God, you're struggling like crazy. You get a couple of free shots, and everybody was missing them. Everybody. You expect Biz to miss his. You don't expect Kyle to go 4-for-8 from the line. You don't expect DeMar to go 6-of-12 from the line. You expect those guys to make those free throws. And when you're struggling, that's where you start to make up some ground, is at the line. You get to the line. And they were getting to the line, too, specifically in the third quarter. The refs, for whatever reason, decided to get whistle-happy in the third quarter.
I want to point to one thing to say, oh, that was the reason, but they were completely dominated in every facet of the game.
In every category.
You can't blame the refs. You can't do anything.
But you can point to the fact that there is clearly still a bias in the series. It didn't matter in the outcome of the game.
No.
But the referee sucked.
Look at Fabro. There was a call over his face.
Listen,
I hate the ref conversation when your team doesn't show up. It's so terrible.
I know. I get it.
How is that even?
Because it's an interesting anomaly in the game. Like we're here to talk about the game. Did you see the play? It was in the first quarter. DeMar's baseline, and he goes up to. He's got a guy behind him, defending behind him, guy in front of him. He's clearly fouled. There's a referee literally literally within two hands of DeMar DeRozan.
Mm-hmm.
And his whistle doesn't even leave his chain around his neck. It's the ref at half court that actually blows the call, and he blows it 5 seconds after. Because he obviously kind of went, oh, my God, I have to call. We can cheat, but we can't cheat like this on behalf of the NBA. So calls like that, and they happen a lot, specifically in the first half. There's a push in the back in the first half by Tristan Thompson on Bismack Biyombo. But you're right. The bottom line is when you lose by 40 points, the last person you point to is the referee.
Well, you can also point at DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, who combined for just 27 points on 7 of 20 shooting. DeMar was puzzled post-game.
Man, I only took 8 shots. You know, a couple of them shots came late in the game when we was down. You know, I didn't come out aggressive like I wanted to.
Yeah, why? Why didn't you come out aggressive?
I think Cleveland played pretty good defense on him.
I think Cleveland had the ball the entire time. Maybe that's why he
couldn't
be aggressive.
Did you see him try and penetrate a couple of times? As soon as he'd try and get into the paint, two guys would collapse on him. And then he lost his mojo, and I think it was that easy to throw him off. Him and Kyle. Kyle, same thing. I mean, they got away from how they got their set, their screens, and all that other business. But Cleveland played great defense. And then Cleveland made every shot under the sun in the first half.
Yeah, meanwhile, LeBron, Kyrie, and Love combined for 71 points, which just can't happen. Kyle Lowry?
We got to take one of them out of the game. They can't all have 23-plus points.
Yeah, speaking of 23, that's what LeBron James had, and he's looking forward to Game 6.
My only mindset is to, at this point, get our guys mentally and physically prepared for a heck of a game on Friday night in Toronto.
Hey, we were talking yesterday, and I got excited. What if Coach Casey played Valanciunas and Biyombo together? What kind of matchup nightmare could that potentially be for the Cavs? So, Coach Casey, why did you end up doing that?
Because we were getting our butts kicked. I think first 8 out of 11 points were off offensive rebound. And that was one reason why we went to that in the first half for a little bit.
Yeah, I was pumping my fist, seeing those two guys on the floor, and it didn't really do
well. They were down 22 at the time, yeah. So I'm not sure how hard you were.
The spark.
Yeah, well, it was interesting to see.
Were you hoping for every rebound and every field goal under the next 10 minutes?
We should have known it was going south early when the Cavs got those 3 offensive boards. And Bismack was getting outplayed underneath. And then we should have seen, uh-oh. Because Bismack was such a force, 40 boards at home. That's the thing. The biggest mystery is how can't you rebound the same on the road? You know, and credit, Tristan Thompson was due for a game, and he was really good yesterday, but that was an early sign that this thing might be going south.
Hey, Raps leading rebounder. Do you know who it was yesterday?
Kyle Lowry?
No.
Jason Thompson?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yes.
That's a problem.
That see, DeLon Wright's problem. And one? That was sweet.
And that's the problem, too, if you're looking at the stat line this morning at the final percentages, because a bunch of, you know, Powell played 13 minutes. Wright played 12 minutes. I mean, the game was over after one quarter, so looking at the final stats doesn't do the game justice. It was just a ass kicking.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was almost amazed. It was halfway through the third quarter, and the starters were still playing, and they were down by 42 points.
I know.
All the starters. Like, LeBron was still playing, but I thought for sure Dwayne Casey would go, listen. Because there was like this shred of doubt in my mind, like a little sliver of doubt when I thought, has it been done before? Like, has someone come back from down 32 at the half? Has that been done before? And I had to look it up, and yes, it has on a few different occasions. I don't believe ever in the playoffs. However, I will say this. You kind of you sat there with a little bit of hope. When you're stuck 32 and you're starting the second half, you had a little – but
I
then
– I had zero hope. I was the way Cleveland
fully
was
into
playing.
San Jose, St. Louis.
I was snuggling into bed, Dean.
You had hope?
Yeah, there was no hope.
I just – you know, you're part of – yeah, a little bit because it's blind faith that you have in this team, and you think, hey, I want to be part of something. And you know what gave me hope was Kyle Lowry's half-court three in the Indiana game. That game, you kind of, or was it my, no, excuse me, it was Miami. It was game one against Miami. Do you remember the half court? You're going, well, the impossible is not going to happen. You're down by like 3-4 points. There's like, 10, 12 seconds left. And he heaves the three and you tie the game and you go, oh my God, because I turned away from it. I shut the and so I thought I don't want to turn this game off, which was absolutely ridiculous because I watched three quarters and then got embarrassed that I was still watching it in the fourth and went to bed.
Hey, you know who else has turned the page? Coach Casey.
It's one game. You know, as much as it hurts, it's tough. We know we did not play nowhere near with the force that we need to play here in this game. You know, it's one game. It's still 3-2. You know, yes, they spanked us here, but also we won two games in Toronto. And we go away with that confidence.
Yeah, speaking of Toronto, Game 6 tomorrow night down at the ACC, 8:30. Hey, speaking of Coach Casey, it turns out that a lot more was riding on that first-round series against Indiana than maybe we all thought. According to a report from Zach Lowe of ESPN yesterday, Toronto would have fired head coach Dwayne Casey if they would have lost to Indiana. Do you really believe that report? Because I think probably he maybe would have got axed. But the way Masai Ujiri keeps talking about a winning program here and how Coach Casey's so important, but should have Casey survived if they lost Game 7 against
Indiana? I don't
even
think it's a relevant conversation. It's a reporter that came up with something to, I guess, put
a charge.
Yeah, but
that dude's pretty connected, though.
Yeah, I know he's connected.
He's a good reporter.
Yeah, he is.
I know. But it, even if you believe it, does it really matter? Coach Casey's going to be here for a long time. You got Game 6 tomorrow night down at the Air Canada Center. You know, ESPN desperately, and I mean desperately, like everybody else, in the United States of America, do not want to see the Toronto Raptors in the NBA Finals because no one's going to watch it. So, obviously, you know what I think? I think it's an attempt to demoralize the Toronto Raptors and the head coach ahead of possibly trying to get into the NBA Finals. That's what I think it was. Mm-hmm. As credible as a guy as Zach Lowe is. Like, that's what I saw yesterday.
It's an ESPN
inside
conspiracy.
Job. Yeah.
Right, D.
And I don't subscribe to conspiracy theories often.
No, you really don't. Like, you're really stretching on this one.
I think he should have been fired if they didn't beat Indiana.
100%. It just goes to show how the narrative of the Raptors' season and their franchise has changed by playoff success. We went from firing Coach Casey to letting DeMar walk to keeping Coach Casey forever and signing DeMar to a max contract because he got all the way to the Eastern Conference
Final. And last night, fire Dwayne Casey and let DeMar walk.
Right. But we'll see after Game 6.
No, it's all gravy now, right? I mean, you just hope your team can somehow get back on Sunday and play the Cavs.
Can I say, is this not been a respectable effort already?
Yes.
100%.
Right? This is absolutely the most successful season in franchise history.
No question.
And this makes you a believer, and it keeps you coming back, and you got a ton of dough to spend in the offseason. There's lots of questions about this team, and the season's not done yet, so I don't even want to go there. But the firing of Dwayne Casey, if they lose the first round, is a completely irrelevant conversation at this point.
Speaking of the offseason, a report floated around last night, too, that Bismack Biyombo will be asking for 3 years around $60 million when NBA free agency kicks off this summer. Nice knowing you, big man.
Hopefully no one
saw you later, Biz.
Performance last night.
3 years at $20 million.
Yeah, that's good for him. He would deserve it. He had 100%. An off game yesterday, but he's been great and really effective player, and it makes a lot of sense. I don't think it makes much sense here.
Right.
Because you're probably going, DeRozan's going to be your priority and take your best shot at Durant.
Yeah, right.
But with Jonas Valanciunas there, it doesn't make much financial sense to me. And it's a shame because he's been such a great story and a great player for the team and such a huge impact he had in the biggest games of our lifetime as Raptors fans. In Game 3 and 4, he was unbelievable. Yeah, so.
And the Absolutely. Raptors could sign him and just pay some luxury tax. They just choose not to pay the luxury tax as well. All right, the Blue Jays bats finally came alive last night in the Bronx.
The 1-0 from Nova. Hit in the air to left field. Gardner's going back. He's at the warning track. He's at the wall. It's gone! Home run for Russell Martin. Number one on the season. His first, and the Blue Jays lead it 3-1.
Yeah, there's Joe Siddall with a call on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Russell Martin hit his first two dingers of the season. And we also had some history in this game, too, thanks to Michael Saunders.
Shreve is set. Edwin goes, 3-2 pitch. Drilled the right field deep, heading for the bleacher seats, up, and there she goes. A two-run home run for Michael Saunders. That's number 9. And the Blue Jays add on two precious runs here in the 7th inning with a 2-out blast, and it's 5-1 over the New York Yankees.
Yes, it was, Jerry, and also some history. That's the first time in Blue Jays history that two Canadians have homered in the same game. Blue Jays go on to pump the Yankees 8-4. Russell Martin was really glad to finally hit a dinger.
Yeah, it definitely felt like it'd been a while. So it's definitely nice to get that first one. You know, normally I'd rather get it in April than late May, but, you know, hopefully it's a sign that there's more to come.
Yeah, we all hope you were going to
hit
him
get
in
it
April
in
too.
The first 10 games than the first 45 games,
that's
but
true.
We'll take it. I thought we were doomed because, you know, you watch the first inning of that game. Donaldson singles, Edwin singles. They can do absolutely nothing. You left a couple of runners in scoring position in the first. And then the third, you got Bautista singling on a ground ball to Brett Gardner. And then you got Edwin who walks, Jose to second. And then Michael Saunders strikes out swinging. But thank God for the fourth. Got a couple of nice hits. Maybe could have been charging air to Chase Headley at third on that Devin Travis infield single. Nonetheless, Ryan Goins comes up there and he fists one into the gap for a double, brings home a couple of guys, and the hit parade was on. It was nice to see.
Well, I liked, sorry, George, that seven of the Jays' runs, I believe, came with two out.
Yeah,
which was kind of some timely clutch hitting, which is something that we used to see all year last year, and we haven't seen it all this year. So that was the positive I took away from yesterday, and hopefully that can continue going.
Well, you mentioned Devin Travis made his season debut yesterday. Troy Tulowitzki a little banged up. He sat down. Travis was 1-for-4 with a pair of strikeouts hitting in the eighth spot. Marco Estrada, too, took a two-hitter into the seventh inning. He was really good to pick up his second win. Blue Jays wrap up the series this afternoon in the Bronx. J-Hap against CC Sabathia. Check the time. 4 o'clock right here, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet, and the Sportsnet app. Straight ahead, Dean, some history in San Jose last night. We'll talk a lot of pucks at 6:32.
That's coming up next, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now back to Dean Blundell and Company. Download the Sportsnet app in the App Store. Then listen online and on your phone. Toronto Sports Radio, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Six 31. Good morning. Welcome. It is Thursday, the 26th day of May, 19 degrees. It's going to be 26 later on today with the showers and thunder showers. But they said that yesterday, Dean. That's what you said yesterday.
I know. I can't control it. It's just what I'm reading. I'm no weatherman, although I imagine it'd be very easy to be one.
Yeah, we talked about this a few weeks ago. It's the easiest job. You never have to be right.
And all you have to do is basically tell people what it's going to be like and tell them how they have to dress.
Yeah.
You are correct, Dean.
And have a smile on your face and say stuff like, back to you guys at the desk.
And even if you're horribly wrong, I expect flurries today in downtown Toronto. You're like, flurries? It's going to snow today?
And no one really listens. Like,
then
when
it's
the weather
like,
comes
oh,
on,
it's hot. He was so, I'm glad he was wrong.
But the weather, when the weather comes on the evening news,
yeah,
I call it news.
News? Or news?
News. That's how I was told to
Are
call it.
Are you a schedule or a schedule guy?
Yep. That's how I was told to call it when I first started out in radio. The guy's like, I'm going to fire you unless you say it properly. I'm like, well, how do you say it? He's like, news. I'm like, that's how losers say it, I think.
Weird.
He's like, no, it's news.
It is true.
Are you married? He's like, no. I said, how old are you? 53. Kids? No. What do you do in your spare time? Dungeons and Dragons?
I bet
like,
you.
Well, that's news to me.
Well, I bet you that dude is really happy, though.
Knew he wasn't.
They tell you that at radio school. I remember that.
I guess so,
it's the first time I ever heard somebody really.
Really?
Oh, yeah, and they drill it. Radio school is by and large, folks, if you're thinking of getting into radio, radio school is the largest waste of money in the world. Just go and work for free for like 3 years.
You can't do that anymore.
You can't do
that. You can't do that anymore?
I learned a lot.
Yeah, you can.
Screw you guys. I learned a lot in Niagara College.
Sounds like it.
Yep.
News.
Dean is right. That's how you used to get into radio. You work for free and bust your ass
You learn the industry from the inside out.
Right.
Right.
Smoke a lot, too. Get a deeper voice.
Absolutely.
That's key. Don't talk
news.
Like yourself.
Yeah.
It's time for the sports news.
Smoke unfiltered cigarettes. That's how you get into the business.
It's time for sporting news.
George should have to say sporting. Since you're our sportscaster.
News?
Anytime, yeah, here's
your sporting news update. Raptors win. Just kidding. That's bad news.
This news update brought to you by the 401 Dixie Auto Mall.
Yeah, that's how you say auto mall for sure.
Yeah.
Well, you're, auto? You're a professional. You're supposed
to just auto mall.
Auto.
Let's go.
All right. On 401 Dixie Auto Mall. Right? Love that place. LeBron James scored 23 points to power the Cavaliers to a massive 116-78 win over the Raptors in Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Final last night in Cleveland. Cavs have a 3-2 series lead with Game 6 at the ACC tomorrow night. Russ Martin hit his first two dingers of the season. Blue Jays pumped the Yankees in the Bronx 8-4. Michael Saunders also went deep. That's the first time in Blue Jays franchise history that two Canadians have hit a dinger in the same game. Blue Jays will try to win the series this afternoon with Jay Happ on the mound against CC Sabathia. Check the time. 4 o'clock right here, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet, and the Sportsnet app. Dean, we didn't get to the Stanley Cup playoffs last night, and in San Jose, there was some history made in Game 6 of the Western Conference Final.
The seconds are ticking down. The fans can't believe it. They're on their feet. They're celebrating. They're cheering. And now, it's down to zero. And listen to this. The San Jose Sharks swarm off the bench. They're mobbing each other. They're congratulating Martin Jones, and the happiest people on the ice are Joe Thornton, Patrick Marleau, Joe Pavelski, Marc-Edouard Vlasic, and all the leaders. For the first time in history, the San Jose Sharks will advance to the Stanley Cup Final. The final score in Game 6, the Sharks 5, the Blues 2, and it's pandemonium at SAP Center.
Dan Ruzanowski with a goal on the San Jose Radio Network. He really had that scripted, too. He was ready. He was ready for that call. I like that, though.
Let me correct him. I think everybody on that team's really happy to go to a Stanley Cup final. And if you were to ask anybody, including their backup goaltender, James Reimer yesterday, and Martin Jones, he made some unbelievable pad saves, specifically late in the game, if you watched it yesterday. But James Reimer and his very, very beautiful wife, April, tweeted out, God bless them both, that they were just happy to be there and they're champions of the Western Conference, which is great news. But James Reimer, think about this. That guy went from a total playoff joke 3 years ago to a guy who just didn't matter how well he played, couldn't get his job back, and played terrific this season. He's in a Stanley Cup final. Listen, I know he's on the bench, but dude's in a Stanley Cup final. And you know what? You won't find a more likable guy. So good for him and good for April. And it's a Stanley Cup final. And who knows? You know what? Who knows what happens in the Stanley Cup final? Maybe Martin Jones gets hurt. Maybe James Reimer sees some net. If he doesn't,
and
there's
then
no
the Sharks
way.
Are screwed.
And then the Sharks.
And then they got issues.
No, but it's
the Penguins
a nice story.
Or the Lightning will go high glove every time on James Reimer.
But it's a nice story and good for James Reimer.
It is. I mean, he's probably the smallest part of their story so far, but we're all happy for James.
Dude, he was really good down the stretch for that team. Not that they needed him to make the playoffs, but for seedings and how the whole thing works and why they are where they are.
100%.
He had 3 shutouts this season, just with the Sharks. Good. He was excellent. So good for him.
And good for the Leafs, actually. In that trade, as of today, the Leafs now receive a 3rd-round pick instead of a 4th-rounder in 2018 because of that. So good news for Leafs fans. And yes, I'm happy for James Reimer. Who isn't? I wondered this morning how many people are pretending to love Joe Thornton and Patrick Marleau after calling them chokers for the last decade or so. Eh?
You want to hear from Joe Thornton?
I'd love to.
All right.
The fans here have waited so long, 25 years, and we've waited 18 years or so. So it's a great feeling.
I like Joe. I think Joe Thornton's been a little underrated his entire career. Because everybody calls him a huge choker, but the guy's been an incredible playmaker his entire career, and the guy puts up a lot of points in an era where it's impossible to put up points.
Guy in 150 career playoff games, never made it to a Stanley Cup final.
Yep.
He's played 1,367 games in the NHL. Never made it to a Stanley Cup final. 1,367 games.
Yeah, Marleau and Joe Thornton are finally in the Stanley Cup final for the first time, 19 years after being drafted. And they're doing it. It's taken them longer than all but one guy, Dave Andrechuk. Was the one guy who took longer to get there, and he finally won, of course, with Tampa Bay right before the good old lockout there. But 11 seasons together for those guys. They made the playoffs 10 times, which has been a heck of a run. And finally, at least they got to play for it. They had one. They were 1-and-done 3 times. They lost in round 2 4 times. Lost in the 3rd round 2 times, and now finally made the final. Good for them, and good for Joel Ward, who's Mr.
Yeah, 2 goals last night.
Yeah, big time
friend of yours.
Yeah. Yep.
So good for him.
You know what? You won't find a nicer guy. Joel Ward, as good as he is in the playoffs, an even better person in the community. He does so much for other people, and he's a local guy. Mm-hmm. Played for Hillcrest growing up. He goes to UPEI. He plays there. He's an unlikely story. He goes to the ECHL. He gets picked up and signed by Nashville. Barry Trotz brings him around. And he is, and I say this in full confidence, he could be one of the nicest human beings you have ever met, and one of the keys to that locker room and turning that whole environment around. Because if you remember, it wasn't more than what, I don't know, 11 months ago, where Joe Thornton was telling Doug Wilson to shut up and do his job, and Todd McClellan was under the microscope, and the locker room was a mess.
Marlowe wanted out.
Well, that get was, me out of here.
That's the interesting part. You talk about the coaching, too, because Thornton was talking about last night how, to Christine Simpson, how, Pete DeBoer coming here totally changed the culture in the dressing room, a lot more, you know, positive vibe in the dressing room, and the guys really responded to him. And all of a sudden, all this luster that, oh, the Oilers hired Todd McClellan, he's finally going to change the culture. They were still terrible. So the Sharks get rid of Todd McClellan, get to the Stanley Cup final with Pete DeBoer, and Todd McClellan is the captain of the good ship Oiler, which was second, like 29th in the NHL.
Yeah, that's interesting. All right, Peter DeBoer, and he brought in Steve Spott, who was the assistant coach on the Nightmare Maple Leafs last year. So that's a great story. But DeBoer, a great coach, eh? Like the Sharks, nobody had them in the Cup final. Let's be honest. Yeah. Everybody picked them in previous years. Finally, we're done with the Sharks, and he took them there. And he took the Devils maybe, what, 3-4 years back to the Cup final, and nobody saw that coming. So he's had an impressive couple runs in his coaching career. And speaking of Joel Ward, that's now 6 career goals and potential series-clinching games. So talk about clutch.
Pete DeBoer was a guy on the Maple Leafs list, too. If they weren't going to get Mike Babcock, they were talking about landing Pete DeBoer, too, back in the day.
It was going to be Guy Boucher.
Ugh.
There was a report that Guy Boucher was at a Leafs building, whether it be Air Canada Center or the Mascot Center or somewhere. And then they got the call that Babcock accepted the offer.
Standing by to sign?
I heard Elliot Friedman tell that story, yeah.
What's the story? I didn't hear that.
Well, we got to ask Elliot tomorrow.
No, I want to hear it now.
What I believe hearing from Elliot is that we heard that Boucher was interviewing for the Leafs' job.
Le Chiffre.
He was playing poker at Real Sports.
Right, he was playing poker in Montenegro against Daniel Craig.
Like, your eye is bleeding. That's your tell. Like, who couldn't figure that out?
Anyway, Le Chiffre is at the Air Canada, or wherever he's doing his Leafs interview, and apparently he was in the building, or it just left the building, when they got the call from Mike Babcock that he's accepting the $750 million.
Was he in the building interviewing, or was he in the building getting ready to sign, provided Mike Babcock didn't sign?
I don't know to what extent that is. We'll ask Friedman tomorrow, because it is, and now Boucher's over in Ottawa, which is a great little subplot to this whole thing. But that's a really interesting story. I don't know where he was. We'll ask Elliot Friedman tomorrow to clarify the story, because it's fantastic.
Either way, nice story. San Jose is in the Stanley Cup final for the first time in club history, which is great, and you got to feel good for the guys that have labored long and hard to get there, and good for them and their beards.
And we'll find out who they play in the Stanley Cup final tonight. Penguins and Lightning, Game 7 on the CBC at 8 o'clock. A trade last night, too. Defenseman Erica Branson is headed to Vancouver after the Canucks traded 19-year-old center Jared McCann and draft picks to the Panthers. The Western Hockey League champion Brandon Wheat Kings were eliminated from the MasterCard Memorial Cup last night thanks to a 2-1 overtime loss to Red Deer. Red Deer will play the Quebec champion Rouen Aranda in the tournament semifinal tomorrow night at 8 o'clock on Sportsnet and the Sportsnet app. Indeed, an old friend of ours, Zach Sill, scored twice for the Hershey Bears, who routed the Marlies 8-2 last night at Rico to go up 3-0 in the AHL's Eastern Conference Final.
I remember him.
Zach Sill.
Yeah. I have former Maple
Came back
Leaf
to haunt you, Leafs. Yeah. Last night.
So what? They're down 3-0 in this series.
Yeah.
This is a huge surprise, is it not? Because the Marlies were the odds-on favorite to win the whole enchilada, to eat the whole bowl of chili.
Yep.
Take the big prize.
They were up 2-1, and an hour later they were down 7-2. Yep. I tuned in watching Bebo go get pulled in Sparks game, and it didn't get any better. And kind of concerning a little bit, William Nylander only 7 points in 12 games this year. Meanwhile, Marner's lighting it up at the Memorial Cup. Hasn't been the greatest time for Nylander. Shoshnikov, only 5 points for the Marlies. And Zach Hyman, who was maybe the most impressive out of those guys that we saw up with the Leafs, only 5 points in 13 games for the Marlies. So I don't know if they're underachieving. They were the best AHL team out there. But yeah, it's been ugly in the third round for the Marlies for sure.
6:44. Hold on. Morgan Riley let us in on who the Toronto Maple Leafs are probably going to take first overall in a very interesting interview yesterday on Hockey Central. That is next. Don't move. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. You're listening to Dean Blundell and Company on Toronto's Sports Radio. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
6:50, good morning. 19 degrees right now. See, I have 26 later on today. Showers and thundershowers, a possibility. But they were yesterday, so I don't really know. It's going to be all right. It's going to rain for most of the evening, they said. Lots going on. We'll talk about that Raptors blowout, losing by 38 to the Cleveland Cavaliers in Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Final. We'll get to that a little after 7 o'clock. We got tickets to go see the Jays and Yankees June 1st. We'll do that after 7 o'clock. Alvin Williams, NBA analyst, will help us break down what could only be described as pure garbage yesterday by your Toronto Raptors.
Yeah, you're garbage.
We'll do that at 7:32, so hang out with us. Morning. So yesterday it was interesting. I was listening to Hockey Central on the way home. Hockey Central at noon with Millard, Kiprios, and Doug McLean, who, by the way, has his master's degree in educational psychology. I don't know if you guys know that.
100%.
University of Western Ontario. He wants everybody to know. Also, I believe he has a Porsche, something else he'd like everybody to know.
Like his life is better than yours.
Which he'd like everybody to know.
But it's true.
You're right, George.
anyway, so I was listening on the way home. Morgan Riley was on. Morgan Riley sounded like he just woke up.
He was out in Vancouver.
Oh, was he? So it's early.
It is early. And he was in Russia, so maybe a little jet lags, too.
So Morgan Riley effectively... bunch of stuff. Yeah, it was great to win the world championship. Nice to play with a bunch of guys. And then he kind of dropped a couple of nuggets. I want you to listen. This is just go straight to clip number 2 if you can. He was asked about his impression of one Austin Matthews.
He's a great player, and he's big. He's big too. We were all at one hotel, and he was kind of cruising around the hotel. And he was you know, way bigger than I thought. Smart player. Skates well, can shoot it, and Babs was over there too, and probably 3 days, I was cruising through the hotel lobby, and Babs and Austin Matthews were sitting there talking. So I mean, he certainly did his job, and they caught up. And but I mean, you know, great player, bright future.
Mm-hmm. So there's that, and then you know, and you go, wow, okay, well, he's really impressed, and he said Babs was with him a little bit. And then he went on to say this about Babcock and Matthews.
They spent a great deal of time together. He spent more time talking to him than he was talking to me, so I was a bit jealous. But
is that a bad thing or a good thing?
Well, quite frankly, it'll be a good thing. But I was kind of wondering. I said, Babs, I mean, he's not on the team yet. Like, I'd like to talk to you. How are you? Like, how's the travel? Because I'm. I said, okay.
So that's interesting. So he's spending all his time with Mike Babcock. Now, that's not to say that this Patrick Lyon guy spent any time with Mike Babcock. We don't know. But in case you were wondering, a la Rob Babcock, when he went off the board and drafted Rafael Arujo, where he was like, what the hell is going on? In case you were wondering if he's going to go off the board or the Toronto Maple Leafs know a little bit more than everybody else, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah.
That Austin Matthews is probably, because you still, a seed of doubt is planted, right? This Lion A guy, he wins the player of the tournament. Everybody's talking about him closing the gap. Who's better? Who's worse? I mean, I think you can read sort of into what Morgan Riley is saying here, which is, listen, put a nail in the coffin, call the dog and whiz on the fire, Cowboys, because it's a done deal. And Morgan Riley saying the same thing. Listen, if I had one pick, hey, here's who it would be, sort of.
I want to know if you were the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs and you had one pick, Matthews or Laine, who do you pick?
who knows? I couldn't tell you. And I know if I answer that, I'll probably get in trouble. So
we're hoping you picked the right one.
I'll play flying and I'll call a friend, and I'm not sure.
There you go. Leaf fans.
Yeah, because Lou will call him right away after.
Exactly.
What do you mean? What are you doing?
Oh, he's traded for a bag of peanuts if he says a word.
Right. You know where he's ending up.
Yeah.
As good as Morgan Riley is, if you speak out and Lou doesn't want the cat out of the bag before the draft, you end up in Lou's cellar listening to this song over and over.
Bozak's still there. He's like,
is it hot outside? Is it summer yet? More than words. Throw me down a baked potato. It doesn't even need to be baked.
Trevor Lupo's lost 60 pounds down there.
Yeah, if he says a word, and everybody knows, right? Like, listen, I'm still interested to see if his name is called in beautiful downtown Buffalo in a few weeks. I'm still interested to see if because stranger things have happened, have they not? Remember when Marc-Andre Fleury was taken number one overall, everybody went, what the hell just happened?
Well, it's because Line A's just putting up a ridiculous amount of points in every league. He did it in the Finnish playoffs, he did it in the World Juniors, and then he did it here at the World. So
yeah.
Gives you
and
something to think about.
And comparing him to Ovechkin, too. Which
right.
Is,
but whew. Matthews is the pick. And Riley didn't say much, but I think he kind of did, too.
Yeah.
He said enough. And I think we know enough, and everybody else says the same thing. And I guess Mike Babcock did spend all of his time with him, which is a nice sign. So probably wants to get the cut of his personality and see what he's like and talk to him and ask him certain questions. It's like applying for a job now. If you're over a certain age, you have to answer a whole bunch of questions. Like if you had, I wonder if there was like, if you had someone else's dog at your house and that dog did a duty on the carpet, would you tell the owner of the dog?
Hey, it's not the NFL Combine. Right. Those are the same questions.
Have you ever found your mother attractive?
I like big gaps in a resume, like 3 or 4 years. Where were you? Nowhere. Jail.
6:56. Hold on. Raptors get blown out. Alvin Williams standing by. We'll chat with him in a couple minutes. We got Jays Yankees tickets all in hour number two. That is next. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.